Well, good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
How are you today?
I'm feeling well, thank you very much indeed, yeah.
Good. We're recording this on Tuesday, and we've just been planning a Bible study that happened last night, which is a bizarre kind of framework of time when we try and work everything out.
Oh, yes. But
we really hope that it went well last night as we started a study of the book of Ruth. Of course, we'd love to say come and join us tonight for it, but it gets all a bit funny with time. So
let's
whatever you're doing this morning, yeah, let's not confuse ourselves first and foremost. And let's just say welcome along for NBC Connect this week. I will poll
Wednesday.
My hand up. Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. It's Tuesday,
unless
but it's Wednesday.
Unless you happen to be listening to it on Thursday.
Of course. And if you're listening to us on Thursday, then I hope you've got a massive smile on your face. Because it's Thursday. That's why. Thursday is quickly becoming my favourite day of the week at the moment.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a bit of a... It feels like that. It's got that little bit of a rest opportunity compared with every other day of the week that seems really full on at the moment. Thursday is quite a calm day.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, I hope you've got a big smile on your face. My favourite TV show is also back on Thursday this week. So, another reason to be happy. But what is it?
What is it, Tom?
I imagine the people in the youth group would probably be able to guess due to the fact that I harp on about this show so much. But I think it is the best show on telly. Taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
There you go. Well done.
Remembered.
It's such a simple thing. And it is what youth leaders try and get young people to do for the entire 7 years that they're part of the youth group. Do silly things in the name of having fun.
That's a good reason.
And I can remember talking to another a fellow youth worker over in Stafford, and he said that he managed to spend an entire day watching past Taskmaster episodes as research for the youth group.
I think
I can probably justify some days of literally watching telly as research for the youth group. How does that sound? Are you going to commission me to do that, Tim?
I think that sounds like a great vocation, and I think you should take it up and respond to the call.
Fantastic.
Which leads us nicely into Ephesians 4, really, doesn't it, Tom?
Of course. I'm glad Responding you're keeping us on
call.
Track, because I'm terrible at doing it. We're kind of entitling today's NBC Connect episode The Cutting Floor. We've just finished a series of six talks on the first six verses of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And we're all very grateful for Tim and what he shared with us over this period of time. And it's been great to follow through all of the different things that Paul is saying to both the church in Ephesus and us today. And I wanted to read to you Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, and this is from the Message translation. If you want to follow it, Tim emailed it out to you yesterday, so you can read it there. But otherwise, just sit back and relax and enjoy the words from Ephesians chapter 4. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. What an amazing... I mean, we probably don't need to say anything more, but it is absolutely fantastic. And of course, the Message translation finishes with that beautiful word, which sums up the entire series. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. And I presume that's why you called this series one.
Well, that's a very good reason, yeah. Yeah, it sort of... Yeah, what more can you say with Eugene than Eugene Peterson has said in his paraphrase, really, this whole sense. And I just love the way Paul, just it all just flows out of Paul, doesn't it? I can imagine him not even taking a breath sometimes, you know. Mm. And when you read the book of the letter of Ephesians, I think every single verse is crammed full of incredible insight and wisdom and spiritual passion and authority as well. And yeah, I think it just grabbed me as I was looking to see what series was appropriate for this time. And that sense of oneness was the real key to it, I think, that at a time when, you know, we are scattered and gathered, this theme of oneness is so important and vital to the church at this particular time.
I suppose I was interested in kind of thinking about the cutting floor. Of course, at the moment, our sermons have been cut down in time from kind of half an hour to 20 minutes.
Hooray! I hear everybody cry.
And some of us have been better at keeping to that time than others. I think James was incredibly impressive a few weeks back to be able to preach in about 10 minutes and make some incredible points. I've been guilty of going over the 25-minute mark. But I wondered if there were some things that maybe you wanted to pull out to us, draw out to us, that perhaps we maybe hadn't had time for up till now. I think, thinking back to week one when you shared with us about Paul urging people to live a life worthy of their calling, to be a Christian, I think I can remember back to that, and then I can remember what was talked about this week. But I wondered if there were any parts that maybe you'd like to expand on a bit this morning.
Yeah, I think there's so much in this, and it has been the major challenge, I think, for me, has been just to try and condense it. And obviously, even for one verse, I mean, every verse is full of so much to think about. But even one verse has been a struggle sometimes to bring it out. And there's lots of threes in there. And I know I bring out 3 points, I think, most weeks. But they're just sat there, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just sat there for us to understand. And I think Paul was definitely a 3-point preacher in so many ways. But yeah, I think your mind can go off in so many different directions when you consider each of those verses. And it's been, I think, what I've enjoyed is really matching it up with some other passages in Scripture, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, to say, you know, that each of these things Paul is saying are not just plucked out of thin air. You know, that they are grounded in something more that's going on, and that sometimes has been the challenge, is to really settle on perhaps a passage that goes as a partner to each of these verses. And I think it's that I could have chosen several, really, but it's been good to dig into some of those other passages. And I love digging into the Old Testament particularly, and I think that's a great discipline for all of us, really, that, you know, again, Paul, remember who he was, remember he was a Pharisee, remember, you know, he was steeped in the law, he was steeped in the Old Testament, you know, the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. You know, he knew it upside down and back to front. He would have memorized it, he knew it by heart. You know, I mean, he was just surrounded by it, and I think you get a sense of that in what Paul has to write. But what really strikes me is that, of course, that it's also easy for Paul to see that Old Testament scripture has been fulfilled now in Jesus. You know, and what he's writing is themed through Jesus' eyes as well, and his own experience of faith in Jesus. But and then the other thing, just to make 3 things, is the church. You know, that he loves the church, and that rings out in the church being people, of course, you know, and that is that there's a desperation in him and a real passion in him to want people to be the best they possibly can be as followers of Jesus. And I just love how he attacks all of those things with, and obviously he was a strong leader, I'm sure, you know, a very strong teacher, but there's a real theme of love running through this as well. Not of desperation, but a desperate love for everyone to understand the reality of all of this as well. And how he wants them, he longs for them to experience this throughout their lives as well. And maybe one of the toughest things sometimes within a series like this is to try and bring that out. Just this overwhelming passion that Paul has for people, and how these words just resonate with us today, and how, you know, I need to hear these words. I need to remind myself of these words as well. You know, there's a call, you know, live a life worthy of the call you've received. And even that, it takes me back to my, you know, the first time I felt God was calling me, you know, to follow him. And I'm sure for others, and we heard from you, Tom, last week, a bit about your story of that call and how, you know, I mustn't leave that call in the past. That call is for now, for today as well. You know, to be worthy of that call, you know, to live up to it now, you know, as a guy who's sort of 54 years later, if you like, you know, what is this looking like for me as well? So I think there's so much in this, and I guess sometimes the danger is, you know, even a preach can become a bit, it can become academic if you're not careful. It can become, just a presentation, if you like. But actually, what I long for is for this passion of Paul to come through, and for me to share that passion with everyone as well, and to bring those points of challenge that have challenged me to others as well. I think it just starts with that place, you know, live a life worthy of the calling. And as I said on Sunday, I think Paul's almost going backwards for us and lands in this chapter 6 of one God and Father. You know, it's like this is the foundation. This is the basis on which everything else is built on. And particularly for me, for this week, I think I really got that. I understood that for myself, that this is where it all has to start.
And some of this passage is relevant for anybody, whether you're Christian or not, whether you're exploring faith, or this is something that you've happened to click on this podcast randomly and you're not really sure what's going on. So much of this passage is for every single person. You know, I look into verse 3, it's amazing. Pour yourself out for each other in acts of love. We've seen that happen. Thinking back to March and April time when we entered into lockdown, the community spirit that we saw was incredible. We should be alert at noticing differences. We should be quick at mending fences. But what Paul here is saying is when we do this as Christians, brothers and sisters with one another, it creates a totally different atmosphere. God is in the midst of what's going on. That thing of reestablishing friendships after an argument, if we do it because we love Jesus and that we know that it's something that we have to do to make ourselves right with both the person we've had the falling out with and God, it just creates a very different dynamic to it. And so much through it, you know, making peace is clearly something that's important to God. We see it all the way through the Bible. But it's just, I mean, this passage has just come alive to me when I've been reading it for the past few 6 weeks or so now. And I was chatting to you earlier and we realised that we're definitely going to have to come back to Ephesians 4 in the new year, because it doesn't stop at verse 6. You know, there's some books in the Bible that are nice and short and only have a few verses. Ephesians 4 isn't long by any stretch of the imagination, but it is 32 verses. But every single verse has nuggets of gold for us, and even more things of the ways that we can live our lives to make it worthy of the calling that Jesus has given to us.
And what I love as well is this is encouragement to keep on going as well, you know, that to keep walking. And I think that's been one of the big challenges during this period of time. And obviously this is going to go on now for another period of time. And we don't know how long, but this need for us to keep going as well. And not only just us, but to keep one another going. And I really love it when I hear people in the church just talking about how they're being contacted by other people, you know, how they're receiving things from other people. There was a very lovely thing that was done for those folk who came on to Vintage Messy all those months ago. And I know that the people who came on Vintage Messy have received gifts from some of the people who were serving at Vintage Messy, you know. And it's just a lovely thing to hear that you're not forgotten. And actually that we take that as a real encouragement to move on. And when Eugene Peterson says, you know, mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, you know, and how often, you know, my journey can be fits and starts, but actually it's that long haul. And I love seeing people who've been in this journey for the long haul, you know, people who are way older than me, if that's possible, who are just full of joy and just keeping going. One of the things that happened to me during this time of this series was a guy who was a friend of mine at my previous church. He died during this time, and I was privileged to be able to be invited to speak at his funeral a couple of weeks ago. This verse really fits him. You know, he was someone who served Jesus not in fits and starts, but steadily, you know, and he would serve on Alpha. He was generous. He was kind. He was encouraging. He shared Jesus with everybody he met. It was just, you know, he wasn't a superhero Christian, you know, but he would say that. But he was just this persevering follower of Jesus, not in fits and starts, steadily, you know, just doing this. And, you know, this passage challenges me to that. His life challenges me to that. And I'm sure all of us sort of have known people like that. And to keep on walking together and keep on trusting. And as it says, walk in the same direction, to stay together on the same road, both outwardly and inwardly. And I think then, yeah, this oneness. I mean, Jesus said, didn't he? You know, the world will see. Mm-hmm. The world will see. The world will see this if this happens. And the more, you know, we can affirm our unity in Jesus because of what we believe together, and also how we act towards one another, is going to make a massive difference. And I think that's a powerful witness, particularly at this time when people are looking for something and need to find the love of Jesus as well. So, yeah, great words.
And yeah, we all have our role models, don't we? We all have people that we look to. And we all will know people who, for them, these six verses are the backbone of their life.
Yeah.
Whether they know the six verses or not,
absolutely.
Because the faith comes out from them. And it you know, I think back to a number of people, some people in our church today, who've just done this, who've done it quietly their entire life, who've welcomed people in, who've been there in those times of need, who've mended fences, often literally, for other people. And I suppose, yeah, as we look ahead to the next few months, there's a certain festival coming up. I'm not sure if you're counting down the days yet, but this idea of unity as a church has never been more important. And we know that it's going to look very different. We've been saying this for a while, haven't we, that we know Christmas is going to be different. But I really do think that for us this Christmas, we've got this amazing opportunity to be a united church. And I say church without having Newcastle Baptist stuck in front of it. I'm on about every single Christian. We know that people who are listening aren't just from our church. People from all across the country and still the world, which is incredible. We get some amazing statistics, how there's people listening in all sorts of different corners of the world. For us to be a united church this Christmas is going to be more important than it has ever been. The concept of a carol service is gone, really. So what is it that we can do that shows that we have one master, one faith, we believe in one God and Father who rules over all, who works through all and is present in all? How are we going to be permeated with oneness this year? That's a challenge, isn't it? That's a great challenge and something for us to keep on thinking about. If you have things that you're thinking, I really want to do this, but I think I need a little bit of extra help from the church to make this happen, or I need one or two people to come on board with me, and do get in touch with us. You can email us on inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk with ideas and things that you want to see us do. We will likely turn it round to you and say, that sounds like a great idea. Why don't you lead this and we'll help you out with it? But I think that's probably an okay thing for us to do, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. And could I go one step further and say, you know, if you need any seed money to help a project,
of course
we'd really be able to help in some small way. We can't guarantee everything, but if it's just something that you need a bit of a little help with financially, then you know, please do chat to us and let's see how far we can reach as we lift up the name of Jesus. So let's not let our hearts go cold. I think that was one of the big challenges. I think when you look at the risen Jesus letter to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2, and the disappointment perhaps that comes out of that little passage to say, come on, you know, let's not lose what we've got. Let's not neglect, let's not forget. And a constant reminder of what we have in Jesus because of Jesus. And we share that together as well. Let's not lose that. And let's not let the enemy get a foothold to bring division and disturbance. So we have one, we are one because of Jesus, and we celebrate that, and let's keep that in the forefront of our minds each day.
And of course, if you're thinking, wow, this sounds really difficult, I'm not quite sure how I can be in this position, how I can live with this one body and be part of one church. Well, at the end of Paul's letter to the church and the people of Ephesians in Ephesus, through the letter to the Ephesians that you'll find in your Bible, Paul says this, and this is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. And keep this passage in mind to you as we come into a time of prayer at the end. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so we pray together. Lord, the nations of our world are still being overwhelmed by COVID-19. Their economies are reeling and their unity is increasingly fractured by growing tensions. In many countries, despondency has filled the land. Despair is slowly strangling the hopes and dreams of countless precious souls. We live in what Scripture refers to as the evil day, a day when it is impossible to persevere without your supernatural help. Heavenly Father, we come boldly before your throne today and we ask for divine strength to stand and pray faithfully. We implore you to destroy this cloud of fear and despair that covers the people of our world.
Lord, we are not defenceless in this dark hour, for you have given us a full set of spiritual armour, the armour of God. And so today we buckle the belt of truth around our waists so that we will not stumble and fall in the day of battle. Our reality is not determined by the siren of helplessness and despair. Our reality is determined by your word. Therefore, we boldly proclaim the name of Jesus is greater than the name of COVID-19. We also stand on your promise that when we humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways and pray, you will heal our lands. We refuse to live by what we see. Instead, we choose to live by what you say. Heavenly Father, we boldly come before your throne in the name of your Son, Jesus, armed with the truth of what you say. We ask you to eradicate COVID-19 and heal our cities and nations.
We also freshly put on the breastplate of righteousness today. Through your redemptive work, Lord Jesus, we have been declared righteous and nothing can separate us from your love. We also desire your continued work of sanctification, for we want to become more like you. Help us to act out the words from Paul. Make us believe that there is one body and one spirit, and help us to live in the truth of this one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God who is Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Father, we have been given the righteousness we need through justification by faith to come before your throne and pray this prayer boldly. We ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on the nations of the world in such a way that your church is revived and millions are saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Set me up for the day now.
Fantastic.
And hopefully for all those who are listening, we'll continue to pray those prayers.
And we'll continue to pray on behalf of the church. We'll continue to pray on behalf of everyone listening, it's a beautiful thing that we do on Sunday mornings now as well. We have our online service, and then there's a period of time after in church where we pray together as a church family. And it really is such a wonderful thing to be able to pray faithfully and boldly as one. Until then, have a wonderful week. We'll see you. We'll see you on Sunday, whether that's in person or online. If you're joining us online, give us a wave in the chat and we'll probably wave back to you. And yeah, it's just great. It's great to be connected, and it is great to still be this one church, isn't it, Tim?
Yes.
It's wonderful. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon. God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.